1 John chapter number 2, picking up our series in 1 John, where we left off however many weeks ago it was now. I don't remember how many weeks ago it was, but it's been a while. And the theme that we'll use tonight is an old and new commandment, an old and new commandment. 1 John chapter 2, please, in verse number 7, where God's word says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." 1 John 2, verse 9. "He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. Ye have overcome the wicked one." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all the singing and the scripture verses, special meanings to those that quoted them tonight. And we rejoice in your word, and we rejoice in the hymns that we sang. And of course, we know that some of them, we know a little bit more about the history of them, maybe than others, but they have a special meaning to all of us, these ones that were chosen tonight. And then, Lord, we thank you again that we have this opportunity to consider the old and the new commandment. And I pray that you would be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God said this commandment, or it said there was an old commandment and there was a new commandment. The commandment is to love. This is an old commandment. This is a new commandment. What John wrote was not some new doctrine or new command. He wasn't pulling something out of his theological hat and writing down something that the people have never heard before. Now, the heretics, the Gnostics of his day were doing that. And so John was combating them, if you will, along with trying to make sure that the people understood that there were some old things that they were to continue doing, but there was some new things that were just like the old things. If you have your Bible, go with me to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We find in the Word of God here the old commandment from John's writing, only it's obviously in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." So here's the commandment in the Old Testament that we just read in the New Testament, the same commandment. Follow down a little bit in the same chapter to verse 34. Verse 34. "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you." Notice, "and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt love him as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor," verse 18. "Thou shalt love thyself," verse 34. This is the old commandment. Turn with me now to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John and the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter. Now we're going to hear from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the same commandment, but with a different emphasis. And I want you just, the, Let's read it carefully tonight, okay? John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now, wasn't that the commandment that they were given in Leviticus? Yes. Notice what Jesus says. Love one another, and this is the part I've highlighted in my own heart. This is where it goes to a whole new level. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Don't just love in your ability to love. That's not going to go very far, is it? No, it's only going to go as far as someone offending you, because then when you're offended, you're not going to love people like you should. And I wouldn't either, in my love. But Jesus says, love people as I have loved you. How has he loved me? How has he loved you? We call it unconditional love. We call it agape love. The greatest and highest level of love that there is the love that God has for you and for me. And it's not based on performance. It's not based on whether I do what he tells me to do. He still loves me. Goes on to say that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, verse 35, if ye have love one to another. Don't miss that statement that Jesus made in the new commandment, if you will, as I have loved you. It can be defined as selfless giving. Selfless giving. This kind of love goes way beyond family and friends. Now, tonight we're sitting in a local church, and I think we would all say that while we, if we're all saved, I don't know if everyone's saved here tonight, only God knows that. Of course, we have some really young people here tonight, toddlers and so forth, and they're probably not saved yet, and we're praying for that, of course. But for the most part, we're probably saved people here tonight, meaning that we're in the same family, spiritually speaking. Some of us are related here tonight. We have a wife here, a husband here. We have our children here and so forth and so on. But we're talking about a spiritual family here. But this kind of love that God is talking about, that Jesus is talking about, goes way beyond just someone that you would think would be easier to love. In other words, what I'm saying is tonight, it should be easy to love everyone in this room because we're the family of God. Now, we all know, though, that even sometimes within the family of God, just like within this earthly family that you have, things can happen and things can take place and people can say this and people can do this and do that and so forth. And even in Bible-preaching churches, people can be at odds with one another. By the way, that's not a good thing, is it? It's not a good thing, is it? No, it's not. That's not the way God intended it to be. But it is of my opinion that this love that Jesus is talking about, and we're going to look at another verse in just a minute, it goes way beyond the love that I would have for you tonight or the love that I would have for my daughter or my wife or my son or my grandson, my daughter-in-law, and on and on it goes. Many of you know the reference in the Sermon on the Mount. Turn there with me, please, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. An old and a new commandment. And I've written down the wrong something here. No, I think it's Matthew 5. Pardon me. Matthew 5. Okay, one chapter off makes a big difference. Okay? That's kind of, and you know, I know why the Lord did that to me, because I was kind of making fun of Miss Gabriella's verse earlier. I wasn't making fun, but I'm sure it said Proverbs, but it wasn't Proverbs. Matthew 5:44, Sermon on the Mount. This is a whole new level. You're not going to be able to do this in the power of the flesh. I'm not going to be able to do this in the, you know, I'm not going to be able to just will myself to love how Jesus says. Jesus says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Look at verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor That's what we just read in Leviticus. That's the old commandment. It's right, it's true. But Jesus says, I have a new commandment to give unto you. In other words, it's not just loving your neighbor who maybe is your friend or your brother or your sister or so forth. But now he's saying, I want you to love your enemy. Wow. Then he says, I want you to bless the people that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. This is the new love. Jesus says you can do this, though. You can love this way. This should be the mark of every New Testament church. Love for everyone. Love for everyone in our community. This is what John is saying. Let's go back to John, 1 John chapter 2. Love should be the mark of every local church. Love is to be the defining difference between the lost and the saved. How is this taking place? Because in you and in me as a Christian is the Holy Spirit of God. It is not natural for someone to love their enemy. It is supernatural for someone to love their enemy. How do we have supernatural love? It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through the Holy Spirit of God. It comes through the fact that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. This is the kind of love that should be known at Anchor Baptist Church. This is the kind of love I believe that we have, but we don't want to lose that. Our fellowship with God is the key, though, to loving in this way. It is impossible to love your enemy and be out of fellowship with God. In fact, it's almost impossible to love your neighbor and be out of fellowship with God. So this is, again, the key. Remember, we've been talking about fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. Walk with God, walk with God, walk with God. If we're not in this book, we cannot love the way God wants us to love our enemy, our neighbor, our brother in Christ, our sister in Christ, whoever it may be. If my fellowship with God grows, then my fellowship, my love for one another will grow. Notice this theme here of walking in the light. As I walk in the light, God leads me as I'm walking in the light to love as God loves. Think about the love that God has for you tonight. Think about the love that God has. Just kind of consider verses like Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us. The word commendeth there is proved, or he showed. God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the kind of love that God is saying you can have for your enemy. We were God's enemy, were we not? The Bible says we were the enemy of God before we got saved. And he reconciled us. He paid an ultimate price so that we could have the title today of Christian. We could have the title today as child of God. The love that God had for us, when we think about where we were, when we think about how low we were, and he reached down his hand and he loved us just as we are. He didn't say, when you get everything figured out in your life, then I'll love you. You know, there's people all over Vancouver and all over this community here that's what they need. They need the love. They need the love that God has instilled in us for them. How do we have that kind of love? Walk in the light. How do we have that kind of love? Fellowship with the God of love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. Loving our spiritual family, as we learned in these verses, is not an option. It's a command. By the way, it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. But I'll tell you what it is. It's a choice. You know, you and I have an opportunity to choose to love your brother in Christ. You don't, but I just don't, we're not close. You don't have to be close to someone. You don't have to be bosom buddies with everybody in the church. But you know what? You should love everybody in the church. It's a choice. God chose to love me in spite of me. God chose to love you in spite of you. It's a choice. I found this quote. We can choose to be concerned with people's well-being and treat them with respect, whether or not we feel affection toward them. I said it this way on Sunday. Hey, God loves everyone. You realize God loves people that reject him. God loves people that aren't even in church. God loves people that are in false religions. God wants them to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. That love is not just for a select group. Neither should our love be just for a select group. Our love should be for everyone. John writes about this love, and he says it is, at first he says, it is an old love, it's an old commandment. But it's also a new commandment. How is it a new commandment? Because Jesus displayed a love that had never been seen before when he walked the face of the earth. Jesus went out of his way to love sinners. Jesus went out of his way to love the unlovely. This is the new commandment. Jesus said to his betrayer that he was his friend of Judas Iscariot. This is a level of love that can only be attained if we walk in the light. Let me give you a couple of things to think about when it comes to the cross. You see, that's the ultimate love, isn't it? Cross. The expression of love at the cross is the pinnacle, I guess, of love. Several things about the cross. Think about this. The cross points in four directions to show that the love of Jesus is, number one, it's wide enough to include every human being. Think about that. It's wide enough. And you know what? I'm boiling right now. And I think some of you are boiling. You're about to go into the land of Nod on me here in just a minute. It was cold in here, and it took forever to get this thing heated up. Now, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one boiling. Am I the only one boiling? No, you're cold still. I just turned the heater off. Okay. Brother Dennis is going to start melting up here with this heater. Does that feel good? Feels good. Okay. I'm the only one boiling then. Okay. It's wide enough to include everyone. Can that be said about my love? Can that be said about your love? That's the goal, to love like Christ. Number two, it's long enough to last through all eternity. His love never fails. It's the perfect example of 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse 8. Possibly. It never fails. Thirdly, it's deep enough, so it's wide enough to include every human being. It's long enough, it lasts forever. It's deep enough to reach the guiltiest sinner. Who is that? Me. And you would say it's you. It's deep enough to reach the guiltiest sinner. To pick them up out of that pit. To pick me up out of that pit. Fourthly, it's high enough to take us to heaven. How are we going to heaven today? How are we going to heaven someday? Well, maybe today. How are we going to heaven someday? It's because of love. I think somebody quoted it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How are we going to heaven? Because God loved us. That's what's taken us to heaven. Now, John was the author of 1 John, right? Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Let's go to Luke chapter 9 because you know what? Even the author of this book, who was told by the Holy Spirit what to write. We know that John was the human penman, right? But we know that the Word of God is inspired, meaning it's God-breathed. So God told John about what's right. But even John needed to learn about what he's writing about. Look at Luke chapter 9. And I'm in John 9. Let's go to Luke 9, though. And John had a nickname. Maybe you remember what it was. Well, yeah, I guess he had more than one then. That's not the one I'm thinking of tonight. That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, okay. And when his disciples, verse 54, did I tell you that? Luke 9, 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Does that sound very loving? No, now there's a time for the judgment of God. But I think the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So John is the penman of 1 John chapter 1, but here's James and John saying to the Lord, shouldn't we do like Elias and zap them? So even the people of the Bible that we look at, and yes, he's John the Beloved, that's right, Brother Jonathan, you're right. And he wrote Revelation and Gospel of John, he wrote the epistles. He was right at the, you know, and I'm not saying necessarily he was completely wrong. I'm just saying, emphasizing what he's talking about here in 1 John doesn't match with, hey, let's just zap them and burn them to death. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2, our text. One of the tests that we have in genuine faith is to love our fellow believer. Verse 9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. That word hateth right there is not referring, the tense of it is not referring to I have one bad moment with a brother in Christ and so I'm not saved. The word hateth there, the tense of that verse is a continual hating for the brother, for the family of God. John is saying, if you have absolutely no love in your heart for the family of God, you better check to see if you're even in the light. Because eventually you're going to have to apologize if you're wrong, or you're going to have to get yourself in order, because you can't be walking in the light and hate brother in Christ. The two don't go hand in hand. So, old commandment, new commandment. I want us to think about that tonight. I'm going to stop there because the rest of it I want to really emphasize and I want to take more time on. Where are we? Do we have the love that is simply tonight for those that are lovely and love us? That's a start. I would call that elementary love. You know what we need to get to? We need to ask God to help us to get to graduate level. You know, PhD level. Doctorate level. And that's love your enemies. That's pray for them that despitefully use you. And how does this happen? Walk in the light. It's, as Jesus said, love everybody as I love you. Isn't that the key? As I love you.